Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're here in this place. Thank you for those joining us online. Thank you for those listening later to your word to us this morning. We thank you that your word is powerful, your word is mighty, your word is strong, and your word is able to change lives. And I speak that out this morning, that lives are going to be changed because of what you speak to us this morning, Father. We speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so these seeds we're about to plant cannot be stolen, understanding these seeds will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I've changed the direction this week. So I've been preparing all week for John 12, for the Jesus speak, as Pauline was saying on Friday night. Are we getting Jesus speak on Sunday? Yes, we are. Well, that was Friday night, Pauline. So not anymore. Change of direction. And I think it's an important change of direction just for this one week. And it's a message that needs to be heard. And I'm getting confirmation of it this morning as I'm singing the songs that Nunzi's picked. Nunzi didn't know we were having a change of direction this week. And some of the lyrics, especially I Speak Jesus, are just fitting in so well to the sermon. So I had been planning all week, and this happens occasionally. And sometimes it's scary and sometimes it's good. So I've been preparing all week for John 12. And then just before I'm about to get on communion yesterday morning, it was, Proverbs 3. So, okay, all right. And it was a blessing yesterday, looking through this start of this chapter. And it's a wee detour, I think, that is required in the fellowship just now. I do believe this is a sermon for us as a fellowship. It is for people as individuals, but as a fellowship, as the family of saints, I think we need to focus on this morning. Amen. Because we all undergo struggles and pressures and problems in life. That's the nature of this physical life. We will all have difficulties. Every single one of us. Now, I'm not speaking out death. I'm not prophesying that you're going to have difficulties. But, thank you. They're way ahead of me, folks. They're stealing all my best lines. Jesus said it. We will all have the opportunity to be stressed, to get anxious, to worry. We will all have the opportunity to have our mental well-being plummet. It's what the enemy's after. Now, I don't know about you, some of us seem to be anointed in this area. And we're great at it. Great at worrying. But it need not be so. And I just sense, as an individual, and as some individuals, and as a fellowship as a whole, I'm just sensing we have struggles and issues at the moment. Nearly all of us. We had a time of prayer on Thursday where people were open and honest about their struggles. This is happening, that's happening. And I laid before you last Sunday some of my struggles that I've been going through. And it was in that context that I was considering what to bring to communion yesterday morning. And as ever on a Saturday morning when I'm considering communion, I'm lying in bed drinking my real coffee that Nunzi has made and brought up for me. Sorry? I am spoiled. Normally my one real coffee a day is in bed. And I get it every day. That's great. So I was lying in bed drinking my good coffee and I was thinking what to bring. And the Lord led me to Proverbs 3. And I thought, yes, yes, Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. No, it's Proverbs 3, 1 to 4. But then I went on. So Proverbs 3, 1 to 8. And verse 1 to 4 specifically spoke to me. And I think it will speak to us. Because when I was looking at that, I was thinking, that's what I need to study out today. That's 8 verses. That's what I need to get into me this morning. And I'm sure there's other people in the fellowship that need that at this time. So that's what I want to bring this morning. Some scriptures for times of trouble, times of anxiety, times of worry. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, it's okay. I'm fine just now, and that's great. So your job is to comfort those around you who aren't. And it's to tuck this sermon into your little heart for when the troubles do come. And I'm not speaking death. That is a fact of life. So if you need them now, this is for you. If you don't need them now, it's for tomorrow or next week. Or next month, or whatever. So turn with me to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to the navel and marrow to the bones. This is a gold mine of truths, of principles of the kingdom, of ways to operate, not just in times of trouble, but in times of good. This is a way of living that we're being told here in Proverbs. A way to generate peace in our lives. I mean, who wants more peace? One or two years. Yeah, we all do. Oh, yeah, more peace. Who wants a way to get guidance and instruction in how to live the best way possible, to have the best life? It's all in here. A way out of stress and anxiety and worry and fear and into the opposite of what they call in the Hebrew shalom. So I just want to go through this, like I did yesterday, I just want to go through this little passage, verse by verse, and see what it's saying. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So, am I going to throw you into the law? Am I going to preach the Ten Commandments at you? Am I going to get you to try and follow the Ten Commandments? Thankfully, there's a few of you shaking your heads. No. When this was written, obviously, before the whole Bible was written. So, when they're talking about the law and the commandments, they're talking about the scripture that's available to them then. So when we read that with another whole wadge of scripture, that's the same truth for us. It's about the scripture that's available to us. So when whoever wrote the Proverbs there said, forget not my law, forget not my commandments, he was saying, forget not the scripture you have available to you today. Yeah? And that's what we need to read or understand when we read it. Forget not my scriptures that are available to you today. Let your heart keep the scriptures that are available to you today. So that's what it's really saying. Forget not the word. Adhere to the word. So I have to fulfill the law. I have to do the Ten Commandments. Fulfill the word that is appropriate to us under our covenant. That's the other thing that a lot of people just don't realize. It's different to us compared to the original hearers of this part of the word. We're now post-cross. We need to take what is that, cognizance of? Lindsay's oppressed. Whoa. Holy Spirit's with me this morning. That wasn't me, Carol. Hallelujah. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. This was written to the New Covenant Church, New Covenant believers. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is what we now, if you want to use the word, should literally adhere to. Not even the Gospels. Yeah. Or I'd be standing here with an eye patch and an arm missing. Well, you all would, if you were completely honest. So, we literally now adhere to those scriptures. Of course, we study all the word. We learn all the words. Because it's all God-breathed. It's all appropriate to learn from. But to adhere to or keep the commandments, it's the apostles' doctrine. But of course, we can learn from all of it. It says, forget not. I would say, how could you say instead of forget not, actively remember or work upon it? It leads to something. So verse 1, if we translate it into our kind of language, if you adhere to my scriptures or actively work on my scriptures and adhere to new covenant principles, verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Health and peace. That is what the word can bring us. That's what it was designed for. Peace, that word shalom. Safety, happiness, welfare, that is health, prosperity, and peace. So, I mean, that's just the first major lesson we can take. I took it sitting at my desk yesterday morning. I thought, I see. Remembering the words, being active in the word leads to peace. Now, we all know that. But the verse just before says, don't forget this. Why do you think the verse before says, don't forget it? Because we do. Because we forget it. So being the kind of logical person, I thought, well, so what's the opposite then? And you know what's coming. If I'm in stress or anxiety or I'm worrying or I've got some fear, I'm therefore not at peace. So therefore, I'm not active in the word enough. Or I must be forgetting some of his words. That's the logic of these verses. I love the way you can get a truth in the Bible and you can just twist around the logic. It's telling us what to do to be at peace. So if we're not at peace, we're not doing that. It's not rocket science. It's not difficult stuff, this. If you're in the word, it leads to peace. If we're not in peace, and I do say we, I'm not pointing the finger, you know, we cannot be in the word. Now, I say, I'm not pointing the finger. I'm not laying blame at your door for your stress, your anxiety, and your worry. The Bible is. It's a biblical principle. That might sound a bit hard. I can say it because I have to be honest, I'm living through it. I'm preaching this while I can see myself in the camera. I'm not having a go at you, I'm having a go at me. But as a little bit of an aside, Evelyn, I'm having a go at you as well. If you're in the word, it leads to peace. I mean, this is nothing new, guys. We all know this. We just need a reminder. If we're not in peace, we cannot be in the word. I'm pointing out biblical principles. And I have to say, I'm being honest and saying, I'm seeing this working in my life. I can see when I'm out of the Word. I can feel when I'm out of the Word. Nuns just mouth, she can see it too. I think that's what you're mouthing, was it? Yes. See? Yeah, she can see, other people can see it too. I can see I've been out of the Word. I can see I've been out of relationship with the Father when I look back and analyze those times of poor mental well-being. And I think we can relate it back to me carnally minded and spiritually minded. We looked at that last week, wasn't it? Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Proverbs 3:1 actually could have said, my son, forget not to be spiritually minded. Now, just threw that in case you're thinking, oh, you're preaching Old Covenant, Old Testament stuff here. No, Proverbs 3:1 is Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6 is Proverbs 3:1. This bit of Proverbs here is actually good New Covenant principle. Now, we must throw everything out of the Old Covenant, But if we read something in the Old Covenant, we need to see if it's in the New Covenant, if it's literally for us. This is. We want life and peace, yes. Don't want death. We want Proverbs 3, verse 2, yes. Well, live out Proverbs 3:1. It's easy. Well, it's easy to say. It's not rocket science. You don't need a degree in theology or a degree in Hebrew to understand this. But yes, it is a principle that I need constantly reminding of, and we need constantly reminding of. Forget not the Word of God. Forget not to be spiritually minded. You know, similar, forget not all those benefits that we keep talking about out of the Psalms. Because we forget, we get our minds onto other worldly and physical things, not necessarily sinful. But we just get our mind focused on other things, and too easily, we're suddenly carnally focused. And if you're carnally focused, you're not spiritually focused. You can't be them both at the same time. You are one or t'other. Spiritually minded leads to life and peace, but carnally minded leads to death. Verse 2 is about life and peace. So you need to be spiritually minded to get Proverbs 3, verse 2. And then just in case we don't get it, it tells us kind of the same thing again in 3 and 4. Proverbs 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy, truth, what are they? They're two characteristics of the Father, two characteristics of his words. Now, the focus of this verse is you. If you look at the grammar, it's about you. It's asking you to keep truth and mercy around your neck. Asking you to keep truth and mercy in your heart. And if you do that, they will not forsake you. Again, it's a bit like last week when I was saying, it's kind of down to us. We don't understand. We don't see. We don't perceive. Therefore, that hardens our heart and it shuts our eyes and it blocks our ears. It's not God doing it to us. But if we, as it says there, don't bind them about our neck, don't write them upon the table of our hearts, then they will forsake us. This is not God forsaking us. It's us forsaking that. Again, the onus is on us to be focusing on mercy and truth. And again, this is simply saying, be spiritually minded. Because truth and mercy are God. God the Father is truth with a capital T. God the Father is mercy with a capital M. This is saying, keep him in your mind. Keep him in your heart. Keep him close to you like it's swaddled around your neck. Keep him close by focusing on him and focusing on his truths and focusing on his mercy, be in his word, commune with the Holy Spirit, pray, meditate, spend time in creation, sing your worship songs, whatever. But keep truth and mercy right round your neck and in your heart, and then that results in something. It results in verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, I have a saying, a 15-word declaration. I know Pauline has it as well, that I use, and I've advised other people to use it. I have favor with God. I have favor with man. I have a good understanding. Now, I use this often, especially when I'm going into a difficult situation that involves people. And when don't difficult situations have people? They're only difficult when there's people. That's a good thing to say, because remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. So you go into a situation and say, I'm going to get favor. I'm going to get favor and I'm going to have a good understanding. That's great. But there's a little bit of addition to this now that I've seen. Verse 4 says, so shalt thou find. And you find the rest of verse 4 by living out verse 3. That's what it's saying. By keeping truth and mercy close to you, by focusing on them, by being spiritually minded. Remember, carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. And we all know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think on, what we focus on, enlarges in our life. We need to focus on mercy and truth, and that will enlarge in our lives. We need to focus on forgiveness and our righteousness, which is his righteousness, and that will enlarge in our lives. But if we focus on the physical and the fear and the anxiety and what he wrote in that email and what she said when she saw my video, and you get into rubbish with all that kind of stuff, that is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I had a business worry early autumn last summer. And for me, it was at the time, it was a potential showstopper. I mean, it was huge. Or rather, it was huge in my mind. I could not think on anything else. It consumed my every waking moment. And that was a long time because I couldn't sleep. I was anxious. I was getting the stress reactions in my body. Other people have different things. But when I'm stressed, I get spasms in my intercostal muscles. And when I first had them, I thought I was having a heart attack. Like a knife, I would imagine it's one. I was getting pain that I manifest under stress. I was heading into depths of despair, going to dark places that I don't want to go to and I don't want to talk about. But my mind was not on the Lord's and on his word at that time. Classic carnality and not being spiritually minded. But I pulled it around, got counsel, spoke with saints, prayed with the Lord, sought the Lord, became more rational, hallelujah, surprisingly. Solved the problem, and now it's as if it never happens. But it was horrendous at the time for all of us. Proverbs 3, 1 to 4, works. Romans 8, verse 6, works. Because we're talking about biblical truths and principles. And we've not even gotten at the ones that I've highlighted. 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We all know them. I'm sure we could all quote them. Question is, are we living them out? Song about trust. Trust means to put our confidence in, to put our hope in, to be careless with. I thought about that one. It's that, yeah, you don't have to give a care when you're trusting in the Lord. This verse says, put, all your trust. Trust with all thine heart, nothing missing. Not some of it, not most of it, but all of it. Talks about don't trust in your own understanding. Now, in the previous verse, it spoke of having a good understanding. Yeah, because if we're talking about something good, it's of God. Verse 4 is talking about an understanding we have in and through God. Verse 5, don't trust on your own understanding. What are we? We're human beings. Verse 5 is talking about human understanding. Verse 5 is talking about the understanding of man and men, our understanding. And when I speak out that part of that 15-word declaration, I have a good understanding, I'm declaring I have his understanding. What he wants me to know, what he's put in my mind, and his understanding is good, and he is always good. The understanding of man may sound important and wonderful and prestigious, but I tell you what, it's not always good. Look at man's understanding of marriage and gender and compare it to God's, amen? It's not good. Put all our trust in him. Don't trust in human understanding. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all areas of our lives, put him first. Think on him. In our relationships, in our work, in our career, in our business. And when we're standing speaking to the wifey at the checkout. Or the gentleman, let's not be sexist here. Acknowledge in Hebrew is another one of these words with a list of meanings about that long. But basically it means to ascertain by seeing. In all areas of our lives, he has to be part of it and we have to see him in it. See him there, not excluded from any area of our lives. We need to think of the Lord as being the best relationship counselor, the best business advisor, the best teacher, the best fitness guru and dietitian. Whatever area in your life you are thinking on, he needs to be in it, front of center, and we listen to him. That's what that's saying. Now, I just love the way the Lord speaks to me sometimes. It can't be coincidence. As I was studying for the sermon, I like some worship music in the background. So I had some music on, got up, went out, made myself a coffee, just a normal coffee, because I don't make myself real coffee. It's only Nancy that makes real coffee. I'm too lazy to make that. But I made myself a cup of coffee, came back into the study, and the next line that came on, it says, "For we trust in our God and we will not be shaken." Now, isn't that the truth? We will not be shaken if we trust in him, if we lean on his understanding, put him front and center, then, as verse 6 concludes, it says, he will direct our paths. He will show us where to go, what to do, what to say, keep us in safety and peace and shalom. Now, I was thinking about that. It's not as if he's sitting in front of us or sitting there watching us. And if we trust, if we understand, if we acknowledge, if we put him front and center, then he said, good boy, Vic, now I will direct your path. That's not it. No, it's not when Vic trusts, understands, acknowledges. He'll say, good boy, I'll do it. But if I do that, that is when I'm in the kind of state that I can hear the constant guidance and the constant direction and the constant counsel that he's trying to give me. If I do those things, then I get to be in a state to listen and to hear. And it's not like saying, he's a good boy, here, do this, Vic. He's saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And then all of a sudden I listen and I hear, do this. I'm not being rewarded for my performance. That reward is there the whole time because of his performance. And if I listen, if I trust in him, if I don't lean on my own understanding, if I acknowledge him, oh, wow, I'm suddenly hearing from God. What a coincidence. Oh, God's speaking to me now. No, you're hearing now. It's like Andrew says, it's about tuning in your telly, which you don't have to do now because it's all online. He'll have to change his story about that. You know, you tune your telly, tune your radio. Those signals are there the whole time. It's only when you tune in, you hear it. Now, if we play our part, because he's always playing his part, he is always directing, he is always giving counsel, he's advising all the time, or trying to, because he always wants the best for us. We play our part, I'm going to say it again, we get spiritually minded, we get in line in here. And I mean, we should want his direction. As believers, we should want his guidance. Let me ask you this question. Who do you think knows what's best for you in your life? And I will give you two options. Okay? One, you. Two, the creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the omnipotent God, your creator. How dare we think we know best? Oh, I maybe think I should go this way. Oh, which way is God telling you to go? God the Father, through Jesus, created you for a purpose or with a plan. And he has seen that for you out of time. He knows better than you what's for your life, because he has designed that life. He knows the path you're supposed to be on. I was thinking about, I try and picture God. You know, he's got all these paths laid out for me. There we come to the path, and whoa, away I go, and I just see God going. Oh. But there's always another turning further up the path to get you back onto the path you're supposed to be on. We're never lost. He can always get us back onto his plan and purpose. He knows the plan you're supposed to be on because it's his plan and purpose for your life. Sometimes we can't see that plan, and sometimes we will not see that plan. There's a difference. God had a plan and a purpose for me in ministry, myself and Nunzi in ministry, for a long time. I could not see it, and I would not see it. This is where I get my own back. Nunzi would not see it either. We both were adamant I wasn't going to be a pastor. But God had a plan and a purpose. And once we saw it, recognized it, and got in line with it, I mean, it's not been plain sailing, but it's better than what it would have been, because we're kind of on that plan and purpose. I'm not saying we're exact. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm exactly there, but I'm more in this plan and purpose than I was 15, 20 years ago. Still not perfect, but that's down to me, not down to God. But if I and we live out these verses, we can move towards the perfection that would be in that plan and purpose. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Another way of saying, don't trust in the wisdom of men. Trust in his wisdom. Be in awe, pardon me, be in awe of God. Have reverence, fear for him. Awe and wonder and reverence for God and his wisdom and his truths and his mercy. And the same as all the other verses, if we get that, that makes us depart from evil. This is not saying, right, Vic, you need to depart from evil, and then you won't, then you'll have reverence for the Lord, and you'll do this and you'll do that. No, it's because we've done that, we will depart from evil automatically. It's not like we try. I think it is an interesting verse that is saying, if you're in awe of God and his wisdom, that moves you from evil. But you know what else it's saying, just by implication? It's talking about the wisdom of men being evil. If you interpret it that way. And I think we see that all the time. The way the world is moving, the way the world is going. The wisdom of men, humanism, gender politics, marriage, all that. Evil. Not the people, but the wisdom that they espouse. So be careful about men's wisdom. God's wisdom is what we need. So if we do that, that results in something else too. It's, you see, God's putting in these principles time and time again. Be spiritually minded, you get this. Be spiritually minded, you get this. Be spiritually minded, you get this. And again, be spiritually minded, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Basically, that's talking about health and well-being. Trust in God and his wisdom, and not in man and his wisdom. And that leads you into health and well-being. Yeah. And as we work our way through this and understand it better and see the results, we will know the truth. We'll have that experiential truth. This works. Proverbs 1:3, verse 1-8 works. Romans 8, verse 6 works. It's all down to carnally minded or spiritually minded. Focusing on his truth or men's truth. Focusing on his wisdom or men's wisdom. Focusing on his understanding or what you think's best. This is a powerful, powerful passage of scripture. It's a great passage to study out, great passage to meditate upon, especially in times of stress. But it's much better to have it ready for when that comes along. Amen. It's like being proactive rather than reactive. Good to get to grips with. So I commend this message to you. I suggest it is for us as individuals. I suggest it is for us as a fellowship. And I strongly suggest that you study it out for yourself. Amen.